Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Job, Job in chapter 1. Job is right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 1. This week has been a little different. Usually I have clear direction at the beginning of the week, and I was going two different directions this week, and praying and seeking and prepared two different messages, but last night it was clear this was the message that God wanted me to preach this morning, so I trust that those that need to hear the message are here this morning, and so looking forward to presenting it. Go ahead and stand with me if you will, Job chapter 1. I'm going to read the first three verses. The Bible says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, spiritually mature, and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed, wouldn't have anything to do with it, evil. And there were born unto him seven sons and three daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, again, we thank you for, first and foremost, for your presence in this place. We thank you that you have preserved your word for us to study and to read and to teach and to preach. I thank you, Father, for opportunity to present your message this morning. I pray, God, that you would just once again use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you've been saved for any time at all, then no doubt you have been impacted by somebody speaking of the life of Job. You go through trials and you go through difficulties of life, and there's someone that you can identify with. You can look to the Bible and you can study the Bible character named Job. It's the oldest book of the Bible. It was presented before the law, and we know, of course, Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Pentateuch. It was given before the law and the Pentateuch and the writings of Moses. Whether Moses wrote the book of Job, we don't really know. We just know that it is the oldest book of the Bible. The theme of this book, as you study it and read it, could be, why do the righteous suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? What we learn is those that are looking to God, God always has a purpose. No matter what we go through, no matter what takes place, God does not cause everything that happens. It happens most of the time. It happens because of nature or what God has established in natural process of life. But there are things that God does bring into our lives, and there are things that God allows into our lives. By someone, the Bible reveals to us as an adversary, which is the devil. The first two chapters of the book of Job deal with Satan's attack on Job. The three verses of chapter 1 reveals that Job was blessed by God. And he was blessed by God because he was a man of character. Job's character was impeccable. What happened to Job was not related to sin. That is established right off the bat. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He would not have evil in his life whatsoever. He was a spiritually matured individual who loved the Lord. He was blessed by God, and the Bible reveals to us that he had 10 children. He had 7 boys and 3 girls, and he had much wealth. He had a great life. Whatever else was going on the earth, when Job was living on the earth, Job was blessed, and he had a great life in serving God. If you'd study, you find that he would pray regular for his children. He would communicate with God on a regular basis. And then we find in chapter 1 and verse 12, and we won't go into all the meaning and reasons and all that. That's for a later date, another message. But in verse 12 it says this, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." God allows Satan to attack Job. This would be Satan's introduction to man. If this is the oldest book of the Bible, then this would be the first that man would hear of Satan as an adversary. There's that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but is limited by God. Job did not know what we know. We've read through the book of Job for the most part. We understand what it says and why everything that took place. But we know that when this happened, God would not speak to Job for some time. Job was used to a regular relationship and a communication with God on a daily basis. And he would not hear from God. Right after Job heard of what would take place when he would lose his children, he would lose his wealth, and ultimately his own health as well in chapter 2, Job's initial response was this. In chapter 1 and verse 20, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." That reveals the closeness of Job to God. The first thing that he did not want to deny God, he wanted to worship God. He understood who God was. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave." He didn't lose sight of how God had given to him and how God had blessed him so much. And he was beyond what he could have expected of God. He enjoyed the life of his 10 children. He enjoyed the wealth. He enjoyed all the things that God had blessed him with. And when it was taken away, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. No matter what it is, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then Satan was able to attack his health. And we find Job's initial response in verse 9. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou not retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." His wife was already yielded to the voice of the devil. And it was not a sympathy for Job just to die and be put out of your misery. No, it was the devil working against Job, even from his own wife. When his wife told him to curse God, that's of the devil. And Job's initial response was, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God?" He realized everything he had was from God. God had blessed him and beyond measure. "And shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Wow. The initial response is something that I would hope and trust that I would be able to respond to in the very like manner. When you lose something very close and dear to you, can't imagine losing a child, losing a spouse, losing children, grandchildren, your whole wealth, your health. I would hope I would be able to respond that way. And I believe most that are walking close to God can and do. But then you hear this thought that time heals. And I understand that. But for most, they will experience it getting worse before it gets better. Job would experience it getting worse before it would get better. The second part, and really the book of Job is a two-point outline. The first two chapters is Satan attacks Job. And the rest of the book of the Bible, rest of this book of Job, chapter 3 all the way through the end, chapter 42, is Job's encounters. God records for us to learn from and to be blessed by all of Job's encounters. You know what the first encounter was with Job? His encounter with himself. His flesh, his mind. Job had walked close to God, and so when it first happened, his closeness to God would allow him to respond the way that Job initially would respond. But then day after day, he would get up and realize that it was all gone. He didn't hear from God. There was a purpose for God not speaking to him at this time, but he did not hear from God. And all of this was taking place. And would his faith enable him to get through such a time that he would have to face without even communicating with God and be under the attack of the devil? His encounter with himself, Job chapter 3, verse 1. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. He cursed the day that he was born. And Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which I was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of the death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it." This is Job. This is Job dealing with his own mind. This is Job dealing with his own flesh. "As for the night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? It'd been better for me not to experience all the blessings that I received, to have to go through the agony of the loss that I am now experiencing." Why did I not give up the ghost when I come out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. Verse 25. "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me." The thing that I greatly feared I'm now having to live through. Job wanted to die. Did you get that? And Job, after this took place and after his initial response, and then he's dealing with this, and God's not speaking to him as of yet, and Job is just left with his own mind and his own flesh and his own thinking, and he says, I want to die. The grief is more than I can handle. It's more than I can bear. But this was not God's purpose. If Job would have died, then we would not have the book of Job. If Job would have taken his life, we would not have the book of Job. The book of Job allowed Job to be a blessing to every believer that's lived after Job. That everyone to look to God and to trust in God, he has been a blessing. Can I tell you that I believe that the book of Job was part of the Old Testament scriptures? When Abraham, when he went through some of his trials, he would read of the book of Job and of the trials of Job and be helped. When Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, truly Joseph this morning as we studied him, I believe that he had the reference of Job when he was going through everything he was going through, and that which allowed him to keep his faith, and that which allowed him to stay focused on God and the future that God had for him. It was possibly Job that helped get him through that. In the beginning of the church age, yes, the apostles had the testimony of Jesus Christ, but they also had the book of Job there. And they were able, even when Jesus went to the cross and they were in a confused state of mind and all that was taking place around them, not, they had the book of Job to look to and to read and understand that there is a devil and there is the times when we're going to have to face life and the tragedies of life, and some things are going to be almost unbearable, but you can make it through it. God has a purpose. I think everyone in here, if you've not been, you will have been after today impacted by the life of Job and understanding. He would have missed out on being a blessing. We read in the book of James, let me just read it to you, James in chapter 5 in verse 11. As James writes, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. This is 2,000 years ago. He's writing as part of the New Testament scriptures that we have had for some 2,000 years. But he's writing this concerning what they had to look back on. And he said, you've heard of Job and learn from Job and be blessed by Job. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. If Job would have ended his life like he thought he wanted to, he would have missed out on being a blessing. God has a purpose, and when we go through things, can I tell you one of the reasons that God will allow us to go through things is so God can use that in our lives for us to be a blessing to somebody else that might be going through what you've went through. There's a future if God's chosen to leave you here. He's left you here to be a blessing. And if he's left you here, I believe he will has left you here to be blessed. Sometimes the greatest blessing is knowing that I'm being a blessing. The greatest blessing that comes out of a tragedy, the greatest blessing that comes out of a great loss is the idea of being a blessing to somebody else because of what I've been through. And it's a blessing to you. Job chapter 42, the very end thinking of this. In Job chapter 42 and verse 12. No, Job chapter 42 and verse 10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and when he prayed for his friends also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." In verse 16, "After this lived Job 140 years. After the tragedies that Job faced, he lived another 140 years. And saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations." If Job would have died as he thought he wanted to die, he would have missed out on being a blessing, and he would have missed out on the blessing of seeing four generations of his children. So Job died 140 years later, being old and full of days. Can I tell you, nothing can replace our losses. And we should not look for something to replace our losses. But what we understand is whatever we face, God has a purpose for it. And God's purpose is always going to be to use it for you to be a blessing and for you to be blessed. You have that if you continue to live. You have that if you don't lose your faith. You have that if you continue to rejoice in the Lord's always. And again, I say rejoice. It will come. Yeah. Job's second encounter is what most of the book of Job is all about. Job's second encounter is with his friends, his acquaintances, the closest ones to Job. Chapter 4 through chapter 37, God has still not spoken, and he will not speak when Job encounters with his friends. Now, I love what Job says in chapter 16 and verse 4 about his friends. Job says in chapter 16, "Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are y'all." Now, I love that because you can't put your faith in others. You can't put your hope in what others say. That's not what's going to get you through it. He says to them, "Shall vain words have an end, or what emboldeth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as you do if your soul were in my soul's stead." It's easy for you to say what you're saying, and if I were where you at, speaking where you're at, and I was speaking to you, I could say the same thing. And sometimes people mean well, but they're miserable comforters. For chapter 4 through chapter 37, everyone that would come to Job, now it was after they revealed their friendship. You say, well, were they true friends or not? Look, I want you to see this. Look back to Job chapter 2 with me, verse 11. Job chapter 2 and verse 11. God gives us this concerning these friends. "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naphthahite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him." They heard of his losses, and they got together and said, "We have to go and try to be a comfort to him." And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, and they started looking for him, and then they finally seen him, it had so changed Job that they weren't even able to recognize him. They lifted up their voice and wept. They rent everyone his mantle, sprinkled dust upon their heads and toward heaven. And they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him. Now, they might have been better off to have continued that, not speaking a word to him. But can I tell you that to start with, they proved their friendship. For 7 days and seven nights, they fasted with Job and mourned over Job's losses. That's friendship. And can I tell you that sometimes we want to be a blessing? Don't feel like that you have to analyze it. Don't feel like when you're trying to be comfort somebody else that you have to give them some kind of wisdom. Most of the time, it's just a hug. Most of the time, it's just putting an arm around them and weeping with them. But from chapter 4 to chapter 37, once they got over that, then they tried to explain why it happened. And the only explanation was, Job, there's sin in your life. And Job knew that there was not. So they became miserable counselors. Don't put your faith in others. Don't expect anyone to understand other than God. Because God has a purpose. The psalmist would write in Psalms chapter 62. In Psalms chapter 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only. Wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. God has not spoken to Job yet. God has allowed Job to experience his own flesh. He's allowed him to experience his own thinking. And then he allowed him to experience his so-called friends, the help that he had, the support system that he had, and others. And it's all for us to understand. You will not think clearly if left to yourself. And you will not be able to depend upon others to help you to find what you have need of. Many times they'll be most miserable counselors. They will not give you what you need. Praise God for friends. But sometimes we have to realize that I cannot depend upon my friends understanding where I'm at, what I need more than anything else in life. It's to know him. And my expectation is from him and him only. For he's the only one who can truly understand. And what he has allowed, he has a purpose for. Which brings us to the final encounter. Job's encounter with God. God finally speaks. He designed it this way. Not only for Job, but for me. And for you. Are we relying on our own thoughts? Our human understanding? Are we relying on the counsel of the world? Or even so-called friends? What Job needed was God. Chapter 38. Chapter 38. God finally speaks. Then the Lord answered Job. Out of a whirlwind, he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Taking counsel of words without knowledge. It's what happens when we counsel ourselves. It's what happens when we take the counsel of man. And then he says in verse 3, and this is what he tells him to do. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Wow. See, it's now time for God to speak to Job after God gives Job time to mourn. Did you get a hold of that? What God was doing for Job, and Job had his own mind, his own thoughts, and he had others around him, and all the, I don't know, we don't know how long that was. We know it was for some time. But God allowed Job to mourn. When you're in mourning, you don't always think clearly. Everyone mourns differently. You have to allow people a time to mourn whatever loss they've had. Some are closer to, say, grandparents than others, and so they're going to be impacted by the loss of a grandparent than somebody else. Maybe a cousin, maybe someone. I've got so many cousins, I have not met all of my cousins. I'm an uncle to a lot of those that are older than I am. Not a lot, but a few that are older than I am. I'm from a large family. Others that have maybe one cousin, I mean, the loss of that cousin is going to impact their lives far greater than somebody that might be related to me that I've never met. What I'm saying is everyone's going to mourn certain losses, and you have to give everyone an ample opportunity and ample time to mourn as they need to mourn. God understands that. God gives us time to mourn. But we are not to make a life out of it. Some people, because of a tragedy in their life, they live the rest of their life in mourning. How sad. Yes, you've had a loss in your life. And yes, it's something that could have been devastating. And God will give you time. But when you look to God in time, you need to listen to what he says. I had purpose in what I allowed. And there is a future in what I have for your life. You're still here. You still can be a blessing. And you can still be blessed. But it's time to be a man. That's what he says. It's time to get past the mourning. Get control of your mind. Your flesh has been feeding you a lot of false information. Get control of your thinking. You've been listening to too much of the world's counsel. Get control of your thinking. Because I've got something next for you. And you will never be able to accomplish what's next until you have control of your own mind. I believe that's what Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And let me just read this to you, a very well-known passage of Scripture. But 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 5, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Got to get over my flesh. Got to get over worldly counseling. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Am I thinking the way God wants me to think? Grow up. Grow up in your mind. Mature in your thinking. He then asks him a series of questions to get Job to think clearly. I like that. Because you have to ask yourself questions and answer those questions to regain your strength. The first one, chapter 38 and verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Where were you when I created all things? You were nowhere. And yet I am the great I am. No matter what you've been thinking of your flesh and what's happened and everything else, no matter what kind of counsel you've received from the man, listen to me, I want you to have right thinking. And right thinking is understanding I'm God and you're not. He's God. He designed all that. That was just the first question, if you look down to, in all of these, but I'm just going to highlight a few. Verse 18, hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Do you know how big the earth really is? Do you understand everything about the earth? I created it. I think I can handle your problem. I think I could have prevented, kept from happening what happened to you if that was my will. What I've allowed you to go through, there is purpose for what I allowed you to go through. And if you continue to look to me, then you will benefit from it. And others will benefit from it. And I will be honored and I will be gloried through it. Chapter 39, verse 13. Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich? You see how I designed all things? Do you understand how I take care of animals and plants and all life? Do you understand the design in everything that I've created? Do you not think that I have a design for you and your life? Questions for Job to answer. Chapter 40, verse 2. Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? Who are you to think you can instruct God in what to do and what not to do? You better get your thinking back on track. Chapter 40. Job answers. After he has all these questions that God presents, a series of questions to get Job to think clearly, then we find that Job says in verse 3, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Now, I love that. Job realizes his thinking's been wrong. And he sees himself as being weak. He sees himself as being vile in what he thought. He says, I'm going to cover my mouth because even though I can accept it, I can't agree with it. And to keep from charging you foolishly and saying something I shouldn't say, I'm just going to cover my mouth. Because I see you and what you're saying is right. I understand that. And I'll accept what it is that you've allowed in my life. I just can't agree with it yet. See, that's not good enough. You can't just accept it because at some point you'll continue to be bitter. You've got to see it as God sees it. And when you see it as God sees it, you have to agree with it. Because right after this, God says to Job, that wasn't good enough. Verse 6, chapter 40, verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. For a second time, he says, you need to mature. You need to get your thinking clear. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I'm going to ask you some more questions, Job, because I want you to answer the questions with the right answers. He says a lot. He asks him several other questions, but verse 8 reveals the greatest. He says, wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? He said, you don't want to agree with it, then that means that you think that your way is higher and better than my way? Your righteousness is greater than my righteousness. What you think is right would be better than what I deem is right. And he asked him another series of questions, not only to get Job to accept what has taken place, but get Job to get on the same place that God is at, understanding that this is something that God had purpose in, and it was the most righteous thing in God's plan. Chapter 42. Job finally gets it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know, he knows, that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered unto that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but look right here. But now mine eye seeth thee. I can see God in the midst of life. I can see God in the midst of tragedies. I can see God in the midst of affliction. I can see God in the midst of loss. And if I can see God, I'll abhor myself, repent in dust and ashes, and if you will, trust in Him. Now mine eye seeth thee. God has a master plan. This life that we're living right now, this 21st century, is part of God's master plan. In God's master plan, it all works together for good, to His honor and to His glory. We just need to see God. Illustration, quick illustration. A few years back, we had an ensuite off our bedroom that needed to be remodeled. It was in terrible shape, and I told Steph, I can handle this. I looked at it, and I tried to share with her my vision for how I was going to have, you know, a double sink and just a nice tops on a vanity and a nice jacuzzi tub with Whirlpool and everything else, And I got her to at least hear my vision until I started work on it. Because when I started working, I had to tear down a wall in between. And before I knew it, there was an inch of dust throughout the house. And she's looking at me like, what are you doing? Fear. I could see it in her eyes. Anger. Disgust. So I put up plastic wall after all the dust had already gone throughout the house. But afterwards, I put it up. I'm in there. It's on a slab, so I have to move the plumbing. I'm in there with a jackhammer. And this is after work. This is at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I'm in there with a jackhammer busting up this concrete. And I look out there, and she's in the bed with fear in her eyes. Like, what are you doing to our house? Couldn't understand it. I mean, she was just didn't know what to do beside herself. One time I come out, and I had been tearing down part of the wall, and I had a hammer, and it wouldn't come down. I put both hands on it, and it came down, and the hammer busted me right between the eyes. I come out, blood all over me. I mean, I had a black eye, if you might remember that several years back. But I come out, and she comes and said, you think we ought to call somebody else in to help you? I got a master plan. I know what I'm doing, and if you'll just trust in me. And now I'm not telling you to trust your husband and everything. You might not want to do that. But after I got it finished, and she saw this beautiful vanity, and she saw this deep, jacuzzi tub with the jets. She lived in that tub for the rest of the time we was in that house. Once she could see what I saw in the beginning, she didn't know she had to go through all that, but once she could see what I saw, she realized the dust, the jackhammering, even a bloody husband was worth it. Because look what we have now. Once you're able to see fully what God sees, you'll understand. It's been worth it for God to be honored and glorified in all things. Job said, "My eyes see." If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. "Mine eye seeth thee." Wow. It might have to get worse before it gets better. Might hear from a lot of people that mean well, but are of no comfort. Stay focused on God. His help will be there in our time of need. His grace is sufficient. Do not lose sight of His master plan. Father, we bow before You. Love You, Lord God, and thank You for this book of Job and the opportunity to be able to teach it and study it and understand it. Now, Father, I pray that You would make whatever application necessary. Speak to each one that's here as they have need to be spoken to. And as You speak to them, I trust and I pray they would make whatever decisions that You want them to make today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.